armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of yee about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Try to save
the
pump
up. Really, this is
you
what you're
have
doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee. I don't know much, but I know one thing. Max Scherzer, I think me protest too much. I think me does. Because after what came out, they gotcha.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. He's the All-American man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? We'll get into the Max Scherzer stuff here in a little bit. All right, time to get you loaded up and ready for game number one with the Houston Astros coming to town. And I, for one, am very excited about this series. When you look at the matchups and whatnot, you're going to get Hunter Brown versus Bryce Elder tonight. If you haven't heard of Hunter Brown, and if you're not familiar with Hunter Brown is a very, very good pitcher. He's a young pitcher, so you don't know what you're going to get from time to time from a young guy, right? They tend to be less consistent, but you look at his numbers, 18 innings, 17 strikeouts, only 6 walks. He's given up, 13 hits. So his whip is right at 1.02. And that's elite. He's 2-0. He was very good last year when he came up. Hunter Brown is the real deal. And he's going to be going up against Bryce Elder. Bryce Elder has that shiny 1.53 ERA. His whip is 1.25. 17 strikeouts, 16 walks. He's given up a few more hits. But Bryce Elder's been everything that the Braves can hope for and then some. So I'm excited about that tonight. I'm excited about watching these two kids go head-to-head. And let's be honest, it's probably going to come down to some bullpen. Now, obviously, when you look at this and you look at the fact that the Braves are coming off of a day off, right? So the bullpen should be fully rested. On that same note, so are the Astros. The Astros last played on Wednesday at home against Toronto, so they should be pretty rested. And they won going away. So you got to look at it as these two teams are coming in, guns blazing, and we'll do a deep dive into the actual lineup just before first pitch as far as all the stats and everything. But as far as looking at the lineup for the Atlanta Braves today, you've got Acuna in there and Olsen and Riley Murphy. Nothing has changed. I'm still really surprised that Eddie Rosario is sitting there at the number 5 spot at the DH. I'm not saying that he doesn't belong in the lineup until they bring back Travis d'Arnaud. But what I am saying is I really feel like he should be lower in the lineup. I'd feel a little better with Ozzy sitting there. The way Rosario is hit and started out this season, and I still believe in Rosario. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Eddie Rosario is Atlanta legend. You can't knock what he did in the in the playoffs to the Braves. He was terrible last year, but he had the eye injury. And I never think that Eddie Rosario is going to be some guy who's going to hit over 300, have an OPS between 8 and 9, and just be raking. But I think he's a solid, solid player that is probably going to come in and make big hits from time to time. It's probably going to be an all or nothing type thing. But I do think he's a guy that when it finally evens out, can hit around 250. He's batting 188 right now, and that's what I'm saying at this point. I just feel like it would be much better to have him lower in the lineup. What I'd like to see, honestly, the way it pans out right now, Sam Hilliard's hitting very well. And the fact that Sam Hilliard isn't farther in the lineup is a little strange as well. But if they're looking at long-term, not wanting to mess that up, okay, whatever. But I would like to see Ozzie up at the number 5 spot on a night like tonight with the right-hander with Brown. I guess I would probably want to go righty-lefty, so throw some Grissom there at the 6th spot and then Hilliard at 7 and then give me Rosario at 8. I could live with Rosario at 7 and Hilliard down there in the 8th spot, and Pilar obviously is pulling up the rear of the 9th spot, righty-righty matchup. But if you went my route, I honestly wouldn't be all against putting Rosario down there in the number 9 slot, put a Pilar block above him. The only reason why I say that is you get that righty-lefty all the way down the line, and Rosario would see some good pitches when he's hitting right in front of Ronald Acuña Jr. And I would like to see that play out. Now, obviously, they don't ask us. They darn sure don't ask me. I don't know if y'all have ever been asked about the lineups and whatnot, but I'm just spitballing here. And I would really like to see a scenario where Eddie was hitting in front of Acuña, because if he's hitting in front of Acuña, he's just going to get much better pitches to hit. No slide on Ozzy, but he's going to get much better pitches to hit, especially the way Acuña's been hitting. But right now, the way it shakes out, you're going to get Acuña in right. You're going to get Olson batting second and playing first base. Riley and Murphy follow, and then it's Rosario, Albies, Grissom, Hilliard, and Pilar. And like I said, this will probably be a lower scoring game, and it's probably going to be a game where defense is going to matter. So I'm happy to see Hilliard and Pilar in the outfit along with Acuña, because I think that's putting your best foot forward. We'll just have to hope for the best with Grissom. You know, he had the bad game when he first came up. He's had a couple other gaffes here and there on plays. There were certain plays that he didn't get the error because you can't assume the double play, but he should have made the play. But all in all, I think he's played pretty well. And so this is the best team that the Braves can put out there right now. Still waiting for Michael Harris to get cleared, still waiting for Travis d'Arnaud to come back, et cetera, et cetera. So until that happens, this is what we're looking at. And as far as Marcell Ozuna is concerned, your guess is as good as mine. Maybe we'll get the info right before first pitch. But it looks like he's gonna be on this roster until they make another move. He's batting 083 for people who think that I and other folks may be a little too hard on him right now. This man's hitting 083. 229 OPS. 229 OPS. When bad is considered anything below 700. I mean, he's just absolutely awful. And Harris has got to be getting closer. I'm a little shocked that he's not that he wasn't activated in the lineup tonight. The way that it was pointing towards a few days ago. I thought that would be it. And now we're talking about here with Travis Darnold. We're talking about going on 2 weeks on a 7-day IL concussion. So that's starting to concern me long term with Travis Darnold, is what are we going to get out of Travis Darnold going forward? Because, and I get it, they're probably just not wanting to rush him back. Okay, I understand all that. But if it's that delicate of a situation, what can we expect for Travis Darnold going forward? Because it almost makes it play out to where he would be relegated to catching duty, designated hitter duties. Maybe play some first base from time to time, giving Olsen the day off. But if that's the case, then you're going to have to carry a third catcher. If Travis Darnold cannot play behind home plate on the regular, you're going to have to find a third catcher. Find room for a third catcher. It would obviously be Chadwick Tromp at this point. So that right there, in a nutshell, is my biggest concern, is what is going on with Travis Darnold. 2 weeks on a 7-day IL. Michael Harris, I'm not as concerned. He's young. It's early in the season. I think they just want to make sure he's absolutely 100%. And they're giving him swings, batting practice, and seeing how he feels the next day kind of thing. And they just don't want any complications. That's all it comes down to. When they pull him off the IL, they just don't want him going right back onto it. And Sam, look, let's be honest. Sam Hillier's playing really darn good. He's not just kind of playing good. He's playing damn good. So damn well, I guess, is the actual term I should use, right? But with when you have someone playing that well, you're not as concerned about it. Sean Murphy's playing extremely well too. But Sean Murphy's playing a very demanding position, and to continue to ask him to be behind the plate day after day after day, does that take a toll long term? And does he get to the point where he's going to have to step away because we're wearing him out? So that's my concern there, because the game plan going into the season was to have Murphy play about half the games behind home plate, DH other games, and the same thing with Darnold. And then there was even talk about maybe more like a 60-40 split behind home plate with Murphy, maybe even to a point where it's 2-1, a 66%, right? But right now, he's behind the plate every single day. And that's going to take a wear and tear on a guy who we just signed to a 6-year extension. So hopefully we get Darnold back soon. And hopefully Michael Harris will come back soon, because when this team comes back, you can make the argument that this team is possibly the best Braves team we have ever seen. And I know we've lost Freddie Freeman, but I'll take Matt Olson any day. I think they're very even when it's all said and done. Matt Olson's a little more power. Freddie's going to hit pole to pole with a higher average. We lost Dansby Swanson, and that's the only key cog that I would say hurts the most. But I do believe that by the end of the season, Grissom's going to be playing pretty darn good shortstop. This might be the most talented Atlanta Braves team that's ever been assembled. When you look at it top to bottom, around the horn, Riley is elite. Ozzie Albies, pretty darn good. Great. I'll say Ozzie's great. If you say pretty darn good, it almost makes it sound like that you're not putting him up there. He's not quite elite, but he's just below that notch. Murphy is elite. Olsen is elite. Acuna is out of this universe. And Michael Harris, when he comes back, he's going to be phenomenal. The only question mark we have is possibly in left field. If you can platoon that with Pilar and Rosario, and now you can throw Sam Hilliard into the mix, I'm not worried about left field. the bullpen is one of the best bullpens in all of baseball. And we haven't even had our closer healthy yet, Iglesias. Wait till he comes back. The starting pitching from top to bottom, this starting pitching is deeper than when we had the big three, because we never went this deep where we had five, six, seven guys, eight guys sometimes in theory that you could rely on. Soroka, when he comes back, this rotation is going to be phenomenal. And I don't know what they're going to do with Elder, because you can't bench Elder. Elder's, you know, you can make the argument for the six-man rotation, but then that takes a toll on your bullpen. So this team is so good. If they stay healthy, you're starting to wonder if a guy like Bryce Elder with a 1.53 ERA has a slot. I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? For you basketball heads, that's like saying a kid out there is averaging 25 points a game and you don't know if he's going to be in the starting lineup. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Bobby's joining us, and we're going to hit up a lot of things, including the NFL mock draft back on the clock. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country today. Braves Country HD on YouTube simulcasting with 99.1 FM.
I got back to the hotel at 7:30 this morning, and I went up to the desk to leave a wake-up call for 7 o'clock. The lady goes, it's past 7. No, the next one. You got another one coming around, don't you? Why don't you just put me on that one?
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Winter is the perfect time to start planning for your healthy, pest-free spring lawn with True Green, America's number one lawn care company. True Green's science-based approach and local expertise will help give your lawn the year-round care it needs to be thick and weed-free. Go to truegreen.com/radio to save 50% on your first service. Just call 866-946-5956 or go to truegreen.com today and get a lawn to be proud of.
Hey folks, this is Mark White with The Mark White Show, and you can tune in to The Mark White Show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on Rock 99 WQEE The Key, the home of Southern sports and talk.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country. Welcome back. TGI Friday, man. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying my Friday. The week's finally over. Get to enjoy some NBA this weekend. Doing good.
Tonight's games. Obviously, you got Hawks and Celtics. I just don't think that's going to be much of a series.
No, probably a sweep.
I hate to bash on the Hawks and ruin the Hawks fans' weekend, but man, I would honestly, if you're an Atlanta sports fan, you'd be nuts to miss the Braves-Astros series for Hawks basketball.
Yeah, especially when they're down 0-2.
Yeah, I know it's the playoffs, but it hasn't even been a competitive 0-2.
Not at all. And not at all. I think that series is probably wrapped up by Sunday night.
Possibly. I could see the Hawks getting one win, but man, Braves-Astros is where it's at this weekend for the Atlanta sports fan. And And those games are going head to head tonight, by the way. And I think there's a very good chance that Trae Young is gone by next season. I think it's a combination. If he wants to leave, and I think the Hawks and possibly the Hawk fans are just about over him.
Yeah, with all the rumors that's been swirling around, I think that relationship has soured quite a bit. I think he's probably on another team next year. And if he's not on another team, I don't think the Hawks will see much success because that relationship's – I think that ship has sailed.
See the comment by Lemonade. I guess it's not on Odyssey. I guess he's referring to – he or she is referring to the show. No, we're on 99.1 FM WQEE. And then, of course, we're right here on YouTube. And the replay does come up on Spotify, everything Braves Country HD. You know, the other comment that I see that really jumps out, because I didn't realize that until I heard it this morning. Ozuna he's 30 day or around 30 games away from hitting the 10-year mark. And there are some fans out there that are wondering if that's why it's taking so long for Ozuna to get DFA'd, because if he hits the 10-year mark, then that means a lot to him. I'm sorry, but you can't put this team in the dumper for him to get his, maybe it's 20 or 30 games, whatever it is, for him to get his 10-year mark. You DFA him, someone else can pick him up and he can hit the 10-year mark. Someone will give him a chance because they'll be paying very, very little at that point. Someone will give let's give him a couple of weeks, that kind of thing. But I don't think I would be shocked if the Braves are waiting. I mean, I guess we'll know, because if they release him the day after that he hits the 10-year mark, I guess we would know then. But I would just be in shock, because I don't think Anthopoulos and company care that much about whether or not he makes his 10-year mark when they're trying to win ball games. NBA playoffs. Let's hit the ground running there. What series has intrigued you the most so far?
It's still Kings and Kings and Warriors. That series still has my eye.
Warriors gonna get it, man. Light the beam. Let's go.
Man, I'm rooting for the Kings hard. I really want them to win this series. They started out 2-0. It was kind of predictable that the Warriors would win game three. I think most people saw that coming. But if the Kings can steal a game on the road and go up 3-1, that series is probably over.
Oh, it's absolutely over if they win game four and up three games to one, that's a wrap.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping to see it, because I can't stand the Warriors. I don't like Draymond. I don't like Klay Thompson. Not a big fan of Steve Kerr. I'm ready to see them go.
Two of the next three games would be in Sacramento, and they would only need one W.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that they would lose three in a row.
It's hard to believe that they would, especially, like you said, with two of them being home.
Did it help them that Draymond wasn't in that game?
I don't want to say it helped the Warriors, because I think there's still a good team with them. He's not a very great player, but he's kind of the glue for that team, and he has been for years. But I don't know. Maybe the suspension kind of lit a fire into them, and I don't know. They won the one game he wasn't there, so make of that what you will.
I'm going to make the argument that I think he's overrated crap. They're better off with him out of the lineup.
Offensively, he's terrible.
He's not a guy that can put the hoop in the basket. And I think they're less athletic. I get it that he's a leader-ish, but does a leader get kicked out and then do the things that he does on as regularly as he has? I don't think so. And then the other thing is, when he's off the court, they become more athletic. They actually have a puncher's chance of scoring from his position.
Mm.
And he's not the elite defender like Dennis Rodman. Remember back in the day, Dennis Rodman, if he came out of the game and you said, well, you can't score anyways. Yeah, but he would shut you down. Mm-hmm. That's not what Draymond Green is. He's a hustler. He's a rebounder. He's a solid defender, but he's not elite shutdown.
Yeah, he's definitely not Dennis Rodman, and I've seen that comparison when you look at the 95-96 Bulls team versus the Warriors teams, and no, Draymond is not Dennis Rodman.
He doesn't have the athletic ability.
Yeah.
He's not, like, people forget how, and I know it's a little before your time, but people forget how athletic Dennis Rodman was and how effortless he ran up and down the court and was just in your butt the entire, if he was guarding you, it was over.
Mm-hmm.
There was two guys that flourished when Dennis Rodman was on him, and they don't make Larry Birds falling out of trees.
Yeah, when I think of Dennis Rodman, his athleticism, I think of that picture where he's full stretch, reaching out of bounds, grabbing the ball and saving it. He was a much better. He's much more athletic than Draymond, much better defender. That comparison doesn't hold up.
Well, when I think of Dennis Rodman, I think of him, wedding dress. So, we think differently.
Crazy hair.
You got the games tonight that, honestly, the NBA tonight, I think you can almost take the night off from.
Mm-hmm. The Cavs-Knicks game is one you'd want to watch, but the other two, I can very well see.
It has my interest to a little.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is with that game will be in the second half when the Braves-Astros end. So I'm going to get a chance to watch the second half of that one. That one will be interesting. Just like all NBA games, you're really kind of wasting your time watching the first half. So that's going to be an interesting one. The Knicks should – I think the Knicks are going to bounce back and win, but they should play well. They're at home. Mm-hmm. They have not had a home game in New York like this of this magnitude in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Like Nuggets, Timberwolves, I mean, are you even fathoming looking at that game?
No, and even if the Wolves win, I think the Nuggets still wrap it up in five, but I could very well see a sweep here.
Yeah, it's very Celtics-Hawks-like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they do win the game tonight, that's just a wide thing, but they're not going to be able to put two games back-to-back like that. And so, right now, what are the lines? How is Denver only a two-point favorite, man? That's
I guess it's because they're thinking that, all right, T-Wolves are due for a win. Nuggets are up 2-0. That's probably what the logic is, but the Nuggets are a much better
team. Celtics are 5.5-point favorite in Atlanta, and the Nuggets are a two-point favorite in Minnesota.
Mm. I wouldn't mind Celtics minus 5.5. I think that's good value.
What I'm saying is you'd think they'd be comparable.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
The number one seed over in the West,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, why are they not a 2 points? But it almost feels like a sucker bet that they're just begging you to take the Nuggets and then they're going to lose.
Yeah, I could very well see the T-Wolves winning, but I think the most this series goes is 5.
What about the Knicks line? The Knicks are 1.5-point favorites. How do you feel about that one?
I can see why the Knicks are favorites. They're playing at home, first game at home in the series. But this is a toss-up. I mean, both these teams are very level, so this is why it's one of my favorite series. I think the Knicks win, but I think the Cavs bounce back, and they kind of just trade wins, and they finish the home stretch in New York at 2-2.
Yeah, I feel like the line is it's about right. It should be about a pick 'em, but honestly, I would be shocked if the New York Knicks don't come home tonight and there's just like an explosion of, you know what I would like to know the most? I'm gonna pull this up in a second. What about the first quarter line? What's the first quarter line on the Knicks? Knicks are 1.5-point favorite in the first quarter. Man, that would be tempting to throw some good chunk on that first quarter of the Knicks, because you would think they would come out on fire.
Yeah. Well, especially with that New York crowd, too. The Knicks fans are unlike anyone else.
Right. And when the Knicks are playing well, that's a very difficult place to go in and get a W. And I would be shocked if Cleveland isn't a little floored by the big moment. Not saying they can't pull back into it come the third and fourth quarter, but man, you're talking about 1.5-point. All they're saying is, will the Knicks outscore them in the first quarter?
Yeah, and they don't have many guys that have seen like stakes this big in a game. I mean, Garland's pretty inexperienced. They're two big men, Allen and Mobley. Both of those guys haven't seen this type of level yet. Mitchell has, but he's pretty much the only one of that core group. So, yeah, I can see them being a little overwhelmed in New York tonight.
Well, I just went ahead and took it. I just I like it. Man, I don't see how the Knicks are going to be going in there half asleep, half awake. I mean, it's not like it's a back-to-back. They're at home. Let's go. Hit a couple of threes, get rolling there in the first quarter. I honestly, if it was a 2 or 3 point spread coming out of the first quarter, I would be jumping on the Knicks. I just assume that the Knicks are going to have about a 5 to 7 point lead going into the second quarter.
I don't mind that bet at all.
The other, and Boston being 5.5 point favorite, that's a juicy one to me too. I'm a little skittish on the Nuggets.
Yeah, I think that's a trap line. I think there's a solid chance they lose tonight. They could go up 3-0, but I don't think – I know you said, you know, they're the one seed in the West, and so their line should be pretty similar to the Celtics, but the Nuggets aren't the Celtics. The Nuggets aren't as good. I think the Nuggets are a solid team. We've already said it, both of us. We both think they're a regular season team, and I still stand by that. I think they will drop one of the next two games and win in five.
What about tomorrow's game, Clippers? Are you hearing anything about Kawhi? Is he expected to play?
I'm not sure if he'll be back, but frankly, I wouldn't bank on it. We've seen this story before. A couple years ago when they were playing the Suns, and I don't think it was the Western Conference Finals. It might have been, though. But I remember, regardless, they were playing a series. It was a very important series. I think the Suns won in six. But throughout the whole time, everybody's like, oh, this is going to be the game that Kawhi comes back. And we just kept hearing, we don't have an update. We don't have an update. And eventually, he was shut down for the rest of the series, and they ended up losing. So when he gets hurt, he takes a long time to get back. I don't think he'll play.
Sprained knee, like, I mean, typically, that's 2 weeks plus. So, yeah, I'm a little... I didn't get a chance to watch that game because it came on so late. Did he come out of the game?
I think he finished the game, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong, though.
Because it was like it was breaking news, like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Yesterday, it didn't seem like there was a buildup where they were. I didn't see any reports or saying, well, we're checking Kawhi's stats. All of a sudden, just out of nowhere, it starts blinking and it says, Kawhi Leonard's out for the game, and everyone just got floored by it. So I'm thinking that he must have played the entire game.
Yeah, and I hate to say it because I love Kawhi. He's one of my favorite players I've watched, especially when he's on the Spurs and Raptors. But hey. He doesn't hold up like he used to. I mean, it's starting to feel like he's kind of like Anthony Davis, where he can't play very frequently.
That's a shame because he's a really good player. He's fun to watch. And yeah.
One of the best two-way players the league's ever seen.
He had a puncher's chance against Phoenix, but if you don't have Kawhi Leonard, I'm surprised it was as close as it was last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you don't have Kawhi and Paul George, they're still missing
that. Right. Yeah,
so exactly. It's wraps if they don't have those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, Paul George, my God, what Kawhi was doing was pretty impressive. And now they're out. I mean, without them, I mean, like, is there even a point of even going back to Phoenix? Just say, dude, you're up 3-1. Just go.
Yeah, it sucks because I can't even remember the last time we saw that duo play together in the playoffs.
All right, let's take a quick break because when we come back, before we hit the mock draft, we got to talk about this whole thing with the gambling and the Detroit Lions. What the hell is going on in the NFL? We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Braves Country, weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern, 99.1 FM The Key, your first choice for Southern sports talk.
A woman in my section wants to know if we do anything gluten-free. What do I tell her? Tell her she's not allergic to gluten. She's just masking an eating disorder.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, Braves fans. I'm Mac McGee with Braves Country. We'll be right here on The Key all year long giving you Braves Country Baseball, pitch by pitch, inning by inning of your Atlanta Braves. Make sure to catch Braves Country right here on The Key. We go live 3 to 5. and we'll keep you up to date on the upcoming schedule for Braves Country. That's Braves Country HD and Braves Country Baseball right here on The Key.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Welcome back. Bobby, first of all, they're already starting this nonsense up again. Freaking Tom Brady coming out of retirement. I can't take it again.
Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this again? It's not happening.
He was at a banquet in South Florida, and somebody asked him on a mic. It was recorded. I didn't see the video, but I heard the audio, so I'm not really sure where it came from. But anyways, he was asked if now that he's not attached to any team, could he possibly end up as a Dolphin? And the whole crowd went crazy. And then he never said anything like, hell no, I'm retired. That chapter's done. All he really said was, I've got some friends on that team that I really like to pull for. And then he just kind of changed the subject.
I don't think he's coming back, but I don't know. Dolphins fans better be careful or else they might lose another pick for tampering.
Yeah, it just he's a free agent.
Is he now? That contract's over with the Bucs?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So he could go wherever he wanted to, but
I don't think he does, though.
Man, I'm just exhausted by this. I mean, would the Aaron Rodgers thing go ahead and please end?
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah, a lot of QB drama, I guess, with the older guys. But no, I don't think Brady ever comes back. And frankly, we've had, 20-plus years of him. I think we've seen enough of him. He's a great career in the NFL. He's the GOAT. His legacy's cemented. We don't need to see more.
And if he's not going to go to the 49ers and go home, then I don't see the point in it.
Yeah. And frankly, I don't.
If you're home for your boyhood team and a team that is loaded to win the Super Bowl, then I don't really see the point in it.
Yeah, I don't think he comes back. And I think he should stay retired. Maybe that's me saying that because I don't like the 49ers. But he's had a long enough career. Last year, it didn't tarnish his legacy because he's still the greatest, and that's no debate. But, it was a down year for him. Wild card exit on a team that barely squeaked into the playoffs. So I think we should just let it be. He's had a great career. That's it.
Real quick scoreboard update. Patrick Wisdom just took one into the seats in Wrigley. The Cubs are all over the Dodgers, 8-0. I think that was Patrick Wisdom's ninth home run of the year. He's really tearing it up. Man, I'm looking at the batting order of the Cubs. It's actually pretty impressive. Their batting averages to start the year. Top six guys are right there at the 300 mark. Wisdom's the only one that's not, but he's probably around 280 now, and he's got 9 home runs. So
Tones is going to be in a good mood today, though.
He should be. I didn't realize Dansby Swanson's hitting 328. Nico Hoerner, that's the one that surprised me, 349. And Suzuki's hitting 385. Of course, I think he started off on the IL, so he probably hasn't had many at-bats. But still, Cubs are playing good ball. All right, NFL. What in the hell is going on in the NFL where these guys keep getting busted for gambling?
Man, I knew sports betting was getting popular, but I did not expect this. And Jameson Williams being one of them too. Now, granted, the reason he got suspended, I think, was kind of bogus, but still.
Well, what would okay? So him and there were two guys. It was him and the other Stanley Berryhill are being suspended for 6 games each for mobile betting that occurred at the Lions Allen Park facility. So because they were gambling on company site, but they did not bet on NFL games, but the other four guys that did, Lions wide receiver Quintez Cephas, safety CJ Moore, Washington Commanders Shaka Tony. I thought there was a fourth one, but I don't see the name.
I thought there was
originally. It was originally reported as 6 total, but I'm only seeing the 5 names. But those 3 have been suspended indefinitely. They can reapply for reinstatement after 1 year. So, long story short, they're suspended for 1 year.
And unfortunately for them, their careers might be done because Cephas and Moore already got cut. They're already guys that are lower on the depth chart, so might be tough to work back from that. It's not like a Calvin Ridley situation where, yeah, this guy's going to come back and there'll be no question that he'll have somewhere to play.
Well, also, they didn't have long-term contracts with big paychecks to where you feel like you're going to have to try to figure out a way to keep them going, mm-hmm. right? There's minimal loss by cutting these guys. I noticed that Shaka Tony has not been cut yet, so we'll see what happens with that. But these idiots are betting on the NFL?
I don't get it. After what they saw happen with Ridley, and I don't even think Ridley, I think his, I get they have a policy that they have to follow, but I think that suspension was a little bit harsh. But I don't know how they saw that play out and was like, I think we can get away with it too. No. It's ridiculous.
I'd love to know who's diming all these people out. Because somebody is, right?
Mm-hmm. Has to be.
Somebody's throwing someone under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll move on from that. I saw that this afternoon. I was like, you've got to be kidding me with this.
It's become a big problem. I mean, last year with Ridley, one of the better receivers in the league, and then now this happened.
I'd love to know what it is that Berryhill and Jameson Williams were betting on at the Lions facility if they weren't betting on football.
It was football. I think Jameson Williams was betting on college football.
Okay. I didn't know if they had gotten popped for it outside of the football season. They were betting on like March Madness or something.
Mm-hmm. And that would be ridiculous. I don't see how that could be. I don't know. I mean, I get they have like a strict policy they have to follow and they don't want any type of corruption getting into the NFL, but I mean, that was harmless.
What's really concerning to me is that they're doing mobile betting and they know that they bet on those games at the facility.
Mm-hmm.
That's if Big Brother isn't watching then when the hell, I mean, that's kind of crazy. Cause my first question, if I'm James, how do you know I was there? How do you know? How do you know that I wasn't at home doing a stinker tinker? What is that about? So that really scares the hell out of you. I can just say, wait a minute. The big picture is they know where you were when you made that bet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, all in all, I feel like I don't know if they're going to have to kick someone out of the league forever just to get through to these guys.
You know, I don't think I think someone will have to do something really bad, like intentionally throw a game or something in order to get permanently banned.
If that happens, they're done. They're You can't let a guy come back in who has thrown a game. I don't care if he gives you all his I'm sorries and weepies and, you know, mom and M's and, I didn't means to. You can't. Anyone that throws a game, bye.
Yeah. That would be the straw that'd have to break for them to permanently ban someone.
Betting on the NFL is really, really concerning.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the next step, is that you throw a game.
Yeah. Right? Well, it was a huge problem in baseball a long time ago. And, you know, I imagine at one point it started, I was kind of what we thought was harmless, and then it evolved into people outright throwing games and even throwing championships.
Yeah, I mean, you've had it a couple of times over 100 years. I wouldn't say it was a big problem. You had Joe Jackson in the Black Sox do it over 100 years ago, and then you had Pete Rose do it in the late 70s into the mid 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the I guess it was the Black Sox at the time, but them throwing that game or throwing an entire championship for, you know, over sports gambling, that's, you can only hope that the NFL doesn't get to that point ever.
And the biggest difference between that and now, and it was kind of the reason why that World Series was thrown. If you go back and do a deep dive on why did the White Sox players risk their livelihood, it's because they weren't getting paid very much to begin with. And this was their way of believing that they needed to get paid. And the owner, Comiskey, of the White Sox was famously very cheap. In fact, they got the name Black Sox, had nothing to do with the scandal. The nickname Black Sox came from the fact that the owner of the Chicago White Sox, Comiskey, started taking money out of their checks to wash their jerseys. So the White Sox started saying, well, then to hell with it. We'll just play with dirty clothes. And this went on for a while in the newspapers after several days, because their uniforms were dirty as all get out, started referring to them as the Black Sox, as opposed to the White Sox as a fun and game type thing. So this all rolls into what happens at the end, where eight guys go out there and of course there's always the big controversy on whether or not certain guys actually took the money, and, you know, or the ones that took the money, did they actually throw the game? Because Shoeless Joe Jackson famously hit like 375 in the World Series, but supposedly he took the money, but supposedly the money he was offered was not given to him. He was paid very small part of it. So that whole thing comes differently. The thing that really scared the heck out of people with the Pete Rose scandal was that he was betting on games as a manager.
Mm.
And he always claims that he never bet against the Reds. Nobody knows that. Only he knows the truth. Because he also claimed he never bet on baseball. Then he finally came back and admitted that he gambled on baseball. Mm. Right. But the concern is, if you are the manager and you're making the decisions and you, even if you bet on the team to win, did you hurt the team long term or the rest of the week, affecting other bets for other people, is the big thing. You know, always follow the money. Because did you wear out the bullpen on Wednesday because you put a bunch of money on it, not giving a crap if you won Thursday or Friday?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the whole thing comes from. But it, realistically, they've never had a big problem with it. The NFL's actually had more incidents over the last several decades. They've just never really done a whole lot to anybody. Mm-hmm. They had the famous one with Paul Hornung where he was suspended for, I think, a year in the 60s. And everyone always pointed to that when Pete Rose got busted, like, well, why do you, well, they, and the comeback was always, well, because baseball takes it serious. They took it serious because the Black Sox thing, they never wanted to have that happen again. Cause when you start talking about, did a championship get affected? That's a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you nothing. Another thing that's a problem is that Dodger bullpen. It's 12-0 in Chicago. That Chicago team didn't take any money today. Maybe the LA team did.
They weren't betting against themselves, that's for sure.
And you also got to think of that time period when the Black Sox scandals broke. That was heavy mob. I mean, that was right there at the beginning of Al Capone and everything in Chicago. So all that is involved in it.
True.
All right, I can go down that rabbit hole for days. Let's go ahead and get into the NFL mock draft. and the what is it? The Rams are on the clock.
They are.
Bobby and the I almost said St. Louis Rams. Bobby and the Los Angeles Rams, who are coming off a very disappointing season after winning the Super Bowl, and the pick is in from Bobby.
All right, so with the fifth pick of the second round, the LA Rams are selecting Anton Harrison, tackle out of Oklahoma. I know they just won a Super Bowl a couple years ago, but it seems like a rebuild's on the horizon, and they need to fortify that offensive line. So I think it'd be great to pick up one of the best tackles in the draft here in the second round. And frankly, I think best player available should be the mindset here for the Rams, because it seems like they're kind of throwing in the towel and they're starting to sell. They already traded Jalen Ramsey for nothing. Aaron Donald's retirement is pretty much imminent at this point. I think Anton Harrison would be a great pick here. I think he'd be one of the best players available, and it'd be a position of need.
Do you think that Aaron Donald plays this year?
I think he plays this year, gives it one last swing, trying to see if they can, you know, get back into playoff contention. And I think they fall short. I think he probably calls it quits.
Now, you don't think there's any situation where he goes and chases a ring somewhere else?
That's possible. I think one's enough. I don't want to, you know, maybe he wants to chase rings, but I think one's enough. I think he's already solidified his legacy. He's the best defensive tackle of all time. So there's not much more he has left to accomplish. So I think it'd make a lot of sense if next year doesn't pan out well for him to just retire. Because he's already teased with the idea. I mean, it was almost done after they won the Super Bowl, but he decided to give it one more go.
Would you I'm actually kind of surprised that he's coming back this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I thought with how last year went, I thought that would have been the end of it. And especially with this year now, them trading Ramsey for pretty much nothing. It seems like the rebuild mode is on the horizon for the Rams. So I'm shocked that he hasn't retired already.
Yeah, I'm really shocked. I just, you know, the whole thing with him is the way he talked last year, I thought that meant that he was gone.
I thought, well, he pretty much, I mean, he had turned in the retirement papers after they won the Super Bowl. It was almost said and done, and he had a change of heart at the last second, and he decided to stay.
$20 million or whatever they
gave him. Yeah, 20 million reasons why. But yeah, I mean, maybe he comes back. I could see him coming back for another year after this just for the money side of it, but I don't think it'd be for the ring chasing or trying to, you know, get more stats. I think he's already solidified his legacy. He's good there. But I think it's coming to an end soon.
All right. So now it is my turn to draft for the Seattle Seahawks. And you'll see it pop up on your screen. I'm going to go with John Michael Schmitz, lineman from Minnesota. And he is, watched a few of these mock drafts, and he's been a pretty popular pick at this stage for the Seattle Seahawks. So I'm going to go ahead and go to 6'3", 301 pounds, supposed to be really good in the interior run game, and that's kind of right up the alley of what the Seahawks are trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the pick is up for you now. You're going with the Las Vegas Raiders. What you got?
Yes, sir. You gonna play the sound?
Absolutely.
There we go.
I've created a monster with that sound, by the way. Nobody
you got to do it every time now.
Nobody wants to do their pick unless the sound is made.
It has to be there. It has to be there. I can't get in that zone until I hear that. So with the seventh pick of the second round, the Las Vegas Raiders are taking Steve Avila, guard out of TCU. I was back and forth between two guys here with this pick, but I think either this year or next year, the Raiders are going to draft a quarterback, and they need to fortify an offensive line before they do that. I think Steve Avila is one of the best interior offensive linemen in the draft. So this is good value here. You could plug him in at guard, and he'd do great. I think they're going to try and fortify that offensive line a little bit in hopes of getting a quarterback in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I would be shocked if they went with a quarterback this year, considering the fact they just signed Jimmy G.
Yeah, I think they coast through this year with Jimmy G, probably win 5 or 6 games. I don't think they do terribly well, and I don't think their coach is any good. I don't like McDaniels. So I think this year goes pretty poorly, and then they look to a quarterback in the next draft.
All right, so there you have that. And oops. Oh. You're technologically challenged. The rest of the guys will always end up putting this stuff in, but I have to do it when it's you because you're not. You're not the swiftest when it, which is ironic because you're the youngest one on the show. But yeah,
I know I'm not great with technology.
That's gonna be a problem. That's a problem. You might want to get a handle on that.
All right, I'm an old man already.
When we take a quick break, when we come back, Tones is going to join us. We're going to talk about the cool games this weekend and a lot more here on Braves Country. Get you set for Braves Astros. We'll be back in a flash. Keep it locked in here on 99.1 FM. You're listening to Braves Country Today, Braves Country HD on YouTube. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, the key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair. You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. Friday afternoon, the Dodgers and Cubs are going head-to-head in Wrigley Field. We'll keep you up to date on the score and get you ready for Astros-Braves 7:21st pitch right here on Braves Country HD. Other games in the division, Rockies are at the Phillies at 7:05. We're at 10:15. You got the Mets at the Giants. Marlins are at the Guardians at 7:10. And the Nationals travel to the Twins at 8 o'clock. Other games of interest include the White Sox at Rays at 6:40, Blue Jays at Yankees at 7:05. Red Sox are at the Brewers at 8:10, and a couple of good ones out west, 9:40. It's the Padres at the Diamondbacks, and at 10:10, the St. Louis Cardinals at the Seattle Mariners. Friday night NBA playoffs, you got 3 games. 7 Eastern on ESPN, it's the Celtics at your Atlanta Hawks. While at 9:30, the Nuggets travel to the T-Wolves. And at 8:30 Eastern on ABC, the Cleveland Cavaliers are at the New York Knicks. Your Friday night action in the Stanley Cup playoffs, 4 games going wall to wall. 7 Eastern, TBS, Hurricanes at Islanders. At 7:30 on TNT, the Boston Bruins are at the Panthers. And at 9:30, you got the Stars at the Wild on TBS. While TNT at 10 o'clock, the puck drops in Los Angeles, Kings versus Oilers. And tonight, right here on the Key, 99.1 FM, River Dragon Hockey, round one of the playoffs. Puck drops at 7 o'clock, Dragons versus Rockers. 6:30, you got the Air Force Heating and Air pregame show getting you set for playoff hockey. Moving and shaking on the waiver wire, Cole Calhoun was signed by the New York Yankees to a minor league contract. Max Scherzer yesterday evening suspended 10 games for a sticky substance, essentially missing one start. Madison Bumgarner was DFA'd by the Arizona Diamondbacks, and Jose Iglesias, shortstop, released by the Miami Marlins. The big news of the day, 4 Detroit Lions players, including 2022 first-round pick Jameson Williams, were among 5 players league-wide to be suspended for violating the NFL's gambling policy after an investigation by the league. Lions wide receiver Quintez Cephas, safety C.J. Moore, have been suspended indefinitely for betting on NFL games, as was Washington Commanders defensive end Shaka Toney. They can reapply for reinstatement after 1 season. Detroit announced that its 2 players have been released. Second-year wide receiver Stan Berryhill and Williams are being suspended for 6 games, each for mobile betting that occurred at the Lions Allen Park facility. These 2 did not bet on NFL games, according to the team. Lions became aware of the NFL's investigation about a month ago before the league reached a final decision this week. And Chicago White Sox closer Liam Hendricks on Thursday posted a social media status that said he is cancer-free after completing chemotherapy treatments for non-Hodgkin lymphoma. Remission, Hendricks posted on Instagram, along with pictures and the video of him through his fight with cancer. Quote, "It's official, I'm cancer-free," unquote. Hendricks, 34 years old, announced the diagnosis in January. There is no official timeline for his return, although the team elected not to move him to the 60-day IL last month. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com/Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Braves Country today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country today, Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
Oh, let's not go to the World Series without Stillwell's toys.
Can you send my baseball?
Sure. There.
Wow. Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan. Wow.
That's good advice.
Welcome back. Scoreboard up there for you real quick. Jumping around on it. Cubs lead the Dodgers 12-0 in the sixth. So we'll wait Tones to come out of his euphoric coma. This kid, Victoria Wembanyama, has declared for the NBA draft. Looked him up. See who the heck he was. And then realized he's coming over from France and he's 19 years old. And ESPN is acting like that it is the biggest thing to happen since the MLB lockout ended. He is about a buck 20, 7 foot two. And he's 19 years old. So that's great. We'll see you making a contribution somewhere around 2028. Fill out. I don't know why people want to draft these 19-year-old kids, man. Like, high. Because they're not. You're not going to get into. By the time you get them developed, they're going to be free agents, and you're going to have to find a way to either give them a ridiculous amount of money, or you're going to have to find a suitor to trade him away.
Mm-hmm. I get that. But it's kind of the situation NBA teams have been put in. I mean, with the one and done things, guys want to get to the league as soon as possible, and teams like to develop them as soon as possible. So,
okay, let me put it this way. Somebody is going to go the in the NBA, somebody's going to take advantage of the system, and they're going to do more of an MLB route that has just recently started happening, where you see the Braves do. I've seen a couple other teams do it. For the longest time, you had the same thing in Major League Baseball. Whenever you drafted somebody, you usually drafted them when they're 18. By the time you develop a pitcher, I mean, let's be honest, a pitcher is going to take till his early 20s to develop. By the time he's on your team, you're talking about 4 or 5 years later. And you hope that he's actually a good cog in your engine about 7 years out.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to see more teams, Braves being one of them. There's a handful of others that are drafting guys that are of college age, and not just college age, but later in their years in college. And when they draft them, they're contributing almost instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer Strider is a perfect example where they drafted him and a couple years later, he's one of the best pitchers, not just on his team, but in the National League.
Mm.
What I added tones. Do I not have the, I bet you I don't have the right thing. Give me 1 second. See what we got. There's Tones. Tones, how are you, sir?
Good. I guess I'm harder to find than Waldo these days, but how you gentlemen doing? Happy Friday. A lot of sports going on, and the Cubbies are off to a great start today.
Yes, they are. They are rolling 12-0.
Let's just say Drew Smyly has one of those things going right now through six.
Oh, does he now?
And it's a really good thing. Not the pretty dang good thing. It's a really good thing.
He's got a good chance of getting it because this is a getaway day. And you know the Dodgers just want to get back to Los Angeles. They've already left Chicago. They're gone.
Correct.
So that'd be pretty cool. And wouldn't that be fitting for one of the – I mean, that would be like an all-time garbage player to get the – perfect game.
Correct. And you know, Drew Smyly, one of those guys, as you said, not the best pitcher, but he's a good hearted dude. So I'm rooting for the guy.
No, yeah, I'm not pulling against him. He helped us get a ring. I won't say that he was a major piece in it, but he did help us get a ring in 21. So that's right up there with the Dallas Braden perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
When you're like, who?
You could have threw, if Galarraga didn't get ripped off his, he would have been in the same boat.
Ah, he got screwed.
What was that, Jim Joyce out there?
Joyce. I contend that absolutely derailed his career.
I agree.
I think that had a lasting effect. He was never the same after that. I just think mentally, and he can say whatever he wants, and mentally he was never the same.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Nick Nurse has been fired by the Raptors, by the way.
Probably off to the Rockets.
I've seen that. And, you know, that's the thing, not only in the NBA, but sports nowadays in general. It used to be you win a championship and you buy yourself like a decade, right? Now it's you win a championship.
You're no longer a made man in the NBA just because you win a championship.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Because if you have one prima donna on your roster that says that he just doesn't like the coach or doesn't, you know, he's not jiving with them, next thing you know, they're looking for someone else.
It's insane to me.
I wouldn't mind if the Blazers canned Billups and hired him. I think that'd be a fantastic hire.
There's not many Greg Popoviches. There's not many Doc Rivers. There certainly aren't any Phil Jacksons left where you're just like, you're not going to run him off. He's going to run you off.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's the game you got to play now. I mean, look, when these guys are making $50 million a year, that's the game that you're going to play.
And you just have to wonder what the heck happened in Toronto. Yeah, look,
they deserve it. They play 20 to 23 games a year. I mean, you know, come on.
Oh, man, you really have to wonder what went wrong there this year. I mean, this is the team coming into the season. You have Siakam, you have Barnes, you have Van Fleet, and you have Nick Nurse leading the way with a pretty good bunch at that. They just never lived up to par this year. You got to wonder if more was going on than we know about behind the scenes.
I mean, what happened to the Raptors? They let Kawhi Leonard go to the Clippers. That's pretty much what happened to the Raptors.
Fair.
Can't really fault the Raptors for that, though. I think that was made up in Kawhi's head before
I'm not faulting anyone with that, but when you give that coach that big extension, realizing that he won this championship because of basically one player and you don't have that player anymore, it's a little stupid on their side. And I'd be more willing to fire folks in the front office than I would the head coach.
Mm.
But, you know, even Larry Brown used to say in the NBA that I remember he said, and this was years ago before the prima donna stage hit. He used to say that by year five, year six, it's time to go because the players don't want to hear what you've had to say over and over and over again. That you no longer have their attention. You've got to go into a new scene with a new surrounding. And basically what it is it's new players. And you can't expect them to continue to listen to you because they're no longer 23, 24, 25-year-old, wide-eyed, bushy-tail, wanting to absorb everything. They're now in their early 30s. They might already have a championship, but now they know it all. Right. And it's just, it's very difficult to push that. All right. Let's get into the cool games. Speaking of cool games, really cool game tonight. The River Dragons game two, round one of the playoffs. Puck is dropping at 7:30. And we will have it right here on 99.1 FM WQEE River Dragons versus the Rockers.
Woo.
And the Air Force Heating and Air pregame show starts at 7. So,
love to hear that.
So that's the first cool game, and now we'll get into the other cool games. And who went first last time? Was it Bobby?
I think it went back to me going first last time.
All right, Tones, we'll go to you.
All righty, sir, and I'll go in chronological order as we have
what
two.
What are you going to? I'm going to try to follow you.
I am going to hockey here to start. I have one of my cool games, hockey, one of my cool games.
You see where NHL is on my list? When I scroll down, it's way down here, man.
Below hey, soccer.
It's barely above MMA and women's basketball. All right. Where are we going?
MMA is a beautiful thing, okay? But Let's just set that straight. But no, in a cool game, I find this matchup to be pretty cool, at least seemingly right now. Game three tomorrow, the puck drops at 7 o'clock Eastern. Toronto at Tampa, and I know I'm a Tampa guy, but I think that's a really good series right now. Tampa got the better of them in game one. Toronto knocked them around yesterday. This is a series where Tampa's missing some key defenders. Toronto's missing a key guy with the suspension in Bunting, but you really don't know what's going to happen. Last year, Toronto was up on the Bolts 2-0 in the first round, and the Lightning came charging back to eliminate Toronto. They played in the playoffs 2 years ago as well. Third time in a row these teams meet in the playoffs. Will the Lightning get the better of them for a third time in a row? This series has been really fun to start, a lot of goals scored, and I think whoever wins tomorrow ends up winning the series. I think it's a huge game three tomorrow.
All right, Bobby, where is your cool game? Where are you going?
My first cool game of the two, I'm going with Grizzlies Lakers tomorrow at 10 Eastern time. This is a massive game three back in Staples Center now. By the way,
Bobby.
What's up?
That's it. That's in the NBA.
Are we not doing NBA?
No, I'm just letting you know so that you understand that it's in the NBA. You just jump straight to, you know, see how Ton said, I'm going to the NHL on Saturday. You go, I'm going to Grizzlies for Lakers.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to NBA. I'm sorry. I'll introduce that better next time. I'll give you a fair warning, too. My next one's also NBA. So
shocking.
Keep that page open. But Grizzlies Lakers tomorrow, 10 Eastern time. This is a massive game three. The Grizzlies, who are the 2 seed, taking on the 7 seed Lakers. They absolutely need to win one of these two games coming up in LA. And I think they could get it on tomorrow, but I think it'll be an exciting game. So I'll be tuned into that.
You know what has me most interested in this game? I want to know what and it probably isn't out yet, but I want to know the prop bet on LeBron James total points tomorrow. After Dylan Brooks ran his mouth on James and they're in LA for the first time, I think ever, I think I'm ready to bet on LeBron James. I think you can just smoke him.
Would you even say you're rooting for him tomorrow?
Not rooting for him, but I'm going to root for him to hit whatever point total that he's, because I'm guessing he's going to be, his point total will be somewhere in the mid 20s. And I think he's going to skyrocket after he made that comment that I don't respect anyone until they drop 40 on me, which is like the dumbest damn comment I've ever heard of anybody. I mean, this shows you how big of an idiot this Dylan Brooks is, because that is literally the equivalent of a Major League Baseball pitcher saying, I don't respect anyone until they hit 4 home runs on me. He only hit 2 on me tonight. So, you know, he don't want none of this smoke. Like, what are you talking about, dude? He shot over 50%. He led the game. He led the entire game in scoring. They may not have won, but they did win one on your court. What are you talking about?
And they better be prepared to win one in Staples Center, or else they're going to be down 3-1. And that's a hole they're not going to climb out of.
It's going to be bad, man. It's going to be bad. And is Ja Morant going to be back?
And frankly, I don't really care for either of these teams. So I'm excited to see one of them lose.
Well, I'm pulling for the Grizzly because the whole, you know, Memphis, you know, pull for that. But, yeah, I know you're weird, man. You don't pull for anything in your home state. But
I do like the Titans, and I like the Predators. I like the Titans and the Predators.
So you say, but, you know, you get the with the Cardinals hanging behind you. All right.
Not all proud right. of that one, though.
To be continued. All right, I'm going to go to my cool game. Was on the fence of which game in this series I wanted to go to. And I think I'm going to go with tomorrow's matchup. I really like the pitching matchup between the Braves and the Astros. And that's just going to be a heck of a game. Tonight's a good one. When you got Elder versus Brown, I'm really jacked for that game tonight. But I think tomorrow night, because you've got Kyle Wright versus Framber Valdez, and that should be a heck of a pitching matchup.
I think we got spoiled with all three of these pitching matchups.
Yeah, you can't go wrong on any of them. But we're doing Friday night's and Saturday night's game. I wasn't going to pick Sunday's game. So, but yeah, the pitching matchups across the board. I mean, Max Fried's going to the mound on Sunday. Plus, I'm more inclined to take a Friday night or Saturday night game over a Sunday afternoon game. Just normally, folks have stuff that they're trying to get done on Sunday afternoon. So
you're killing my spirit right now. You're ruining my second one.
I'm not saying you can't get excited for a Sunday afternoon game. I'm just saying that when it's not football season, most folks like to head towards the water. They try to do stuff. We're actually going to go Sunday morning. We're getting up early. We found a 10 a.m. first showing. Want to go see the Air, the new movie. Wow. Jordan.
That'll be a lot of fun, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about it. I didn't realize it was already out.
Yeah, me neither.
My wife yesterday, and she said, yeah, my boss has seen it. He says it's really good. How did he see it? She goes, it's been out 2 weeks. I was like, don't! Like, somebody has his head way too far into sports and not actually paying attention to what's going on in the movie theater.
I think I could attest to that as well. I had no idea it was out yet, and that's one that's been on the top of my list, especially how movies are made nowadays.
By the way, if you're promoting a movie for the NBA, you know, that's based around a story of the NBA, for folks who are not familiar with it, Air is about the whole Michael Jordan getting his own shoe. Wouldn't you do this around? Wouldn't you release it around the NBA Finals? Maybe even have the release date right after the NBA Finals, where you literally have nothing to do.
I don't
know. Like, putting that out there, it seems like that's more of a summer blockbuster type thing. Anyways, Tones, where are you going?
Well, I think we know where I'm going, as you've alluded to this game multiple times already, and I know you made the case on why it's hard to select it as a cool game, but I'll argue why I am selecting it as a cool game. Sunday at 1:30 Eastern, you do have the Astros going to the Braves, and it's written on my paper, guys. I didn't just pick it out of nowhere because we're talking about it. Christian Javier against Max Fried. I think this is a phenomenal matchup. Mad Max. The real Mad Max, I'll call him, is one of the most ascending pitchers in Major League Baseball, and Christian Javier has been one of the most consistent pitchers in Major League Baseball the past couple of seasons. Both of these teams were World Series favorites coming into the year, Houston and Atlanta. And really, this is one of those games that, to me, will decide the series. That's why I think it's a cool game as well. I think Braves will get the best of him in one. I think Houston will get the best of him in the other. And I think this Sunday coin flip at 1:30 Eastern time in Atlanta will decide who takes it. And it's also on MLB Network as well, so it is available.
You said it perfect until you didn't realize that the Braves will be going for the sweep in Sunday's matchup.
Hey, I think they will be.
Let's go.
Screw it. Let's say it then. The Braves will be going for the sweep Sunday. That's why it's cool. And it's on MLB Network. Let's roll.
Christian Javier is a tough customer, too.
He is a tough cookie, man.
All right, Bobby, what sport you going to now? NBA, I'm assuming?
NBA, you got it right. I'm going to Kings-Warriors, the series I've been hyping up so much. Huge game four Sunday at 3:30 Eastern time. I know it's a weird time in the afternoon on Sunday, like you mentioned, but it's still a huge game four, the second game in Oracle for the Warriors. And the Kings have a chance to pull away in this series. If they go up 3-1, I know it's familiar territory for the Warriors, but that pretty much puts the series away. So I'm excited to see how this one plays out, and I'll be tuned in.
All right, so I pretty much had it. So here's the thing. If it wasn't already 2-0, I was going to shock y'all. My cool game was going to be Devils-Rangers Game 3. Mm-hmm. But I can't really call that when the Rangers are going back up 2-0, there's a very good chance that they're about to take it to the Devils, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to stay off the ice. If somehow the Islanders get a W here in game three, then I would gladly say game four is a cool game. But I don't know. It always seems like that they're coming up short. So I'm going to stick with the association. And I was on the fence on which day would be better, but I'm going to go ahead and stick with tonight. Knicks versus Cavaliers, a pivotal game three, series tied one apiece in New York, in the Garden. I kind of feel like this has shootout written all over it, and I think the Knicks are probably going to come away with the W. Bobby, what is your lock and what is your walk-off?
My lock, I'm going Celtics -5.5. You mentioned it earlier. I love that line. I think the Celtics are a much better team. The Hawks are pretty dysfunctional. I think they go up 3-0, and I think they get the sweep, too. I think they wrap that series up in four. And then my walk-off, enjoy round one of the NBA playoffs as a lot of these series come to a close. And for any UFC fans, of course, tune in tomorrow. Sergey Pavlovich, Curtis Blaydes, should be a great fight, big heavyweight fight. I'd say the winner's probably going to get a title shot next.
Blaydes is actually from my hometown, so I'll be pulling for Curtis Blaydes.
Curtis Blaydes. See, I'm a Pavlovich fan, so we're on the opposite sides here.
I don't blame you there. He's a killer, man.
He's exciting. So, yeah, tune into that.
Yeah, I'll make sure of it.
Hey, man, at least me and Tones are going to watch it. That's for sure.
Let's go.
Dude, there's no way with all the NBA and NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball going on, I'm going to try to squeeze in, 3 hours of grab ass.
Oh, I'm not squeezing it in. That's my priority. That's my thing. I love UFC.
Let's ride.
Which is so ironic because you don't look like that you could bust a grape in a fruit fight.
Whatever, man. Hey.
You got me. Hey, we can't see his muscles on camera.
I'm hiding them down here. I don't want to embarrass you guys. I'm hiding them.
Have you ever gotten in a fisticuffs?
Not anything serious, just with some friends. But we've like fought for fun, put on some gloves.
Okay. Well, you haven't lived until you're not sure if you're gonna make it out alive.
I'd like to not do that though.
You haven't lived until you go, what was that? A bottle? What the hell did I just get hit with?
Oh man.
I worked at a joint years ago. Long story short, after one brawl broke out, I was over by the bar getting me something cold to drink, and the bartender goes, "You got a shard of glass hanging out of your skull." I was like, "Wait, what?" It's a broken beer bottle that had gotten in. I can still feel that indention. I still don't know who hit me because that was one of those ones that just broke out, and you're like, what am I in a movie? What the hell's going on here, man? This almost looks choreographed. It was like a flash mob broke out. You're like, what the heck?
And side note quick, Nicholas comments on YouTube, why do the Braves have to be on Apple TV? Well, Nicholas, don't worry. Braves Country YouTube right here will be having the game for you tonight.
Yeah, they look, they signed that deal. That's not going anywhere. The Braves are going to be on the Apple, I think, three times in the first part of the season, and then they haven't released the second half of the season yet. So the good, I mean, the good news is it only happens on Friday nights. Mm-hmm. The bad news is they're starting to double up. They used to just do one, and I could have told you before you were looking at the schedule, Braves Astros was going to be on there, but they used to pick one early game and one late game. Now they're doubling up, and you'll notice there's like two games will be on at 7 because they're like, nobody's watching us out on the left coast. Or like, what was it, last week or the week before, Tones, that the Cubs afternoon game was the Apple game?
Yeah, it was Good Friday a couple days before Easter. So everybody, not everybody, a lot of people have the days off, and they put it on Apple TV.
Yeah, well, you know. That's what we're here for, Braves Country Baseball. All right, Bobby, we'll see you next week. Thankfully, the draft will actually be in full blast. We won't do this mock draft crap anymore. All right. We'll be back in a flash. When we come back, me and Tones are going to continue the mock draft. We'll be back.
Woohoo!
Woo! All right, let's get excited.
Is that your thing? You come into a bar, you read some obscure passage, and then pretend you pawn it off as your own idea just to impress some girls? Embarrass my friend? See, the sad thing about a guy like you is in 50 years, you're going to start doing some thinking on your own, and you're going to come up with the fact that there are two certainties in life. One, don't do that. And two, you dropped $150,000 on an education you could have got for $1.50 in late charges at the public library.
Hey, Braves fans. The Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel are bringing you Braves Baseball all season long. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and I'll be bringing you Braves baseball play-by-play for the Braves fans out there. Pulling no punches, calling it how I see it for all of Braves country. So pull up an armchair and join us for Braves Country Baseball, first pitch to last pitch, all season long, right here on the Armchair Quarterbacks YouTube channel.
We live in a world now that welcomes and nurtures the screwball in all of us. Hey, it's a new decade, people. Time to get a little nutty. Treat yourself to Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, a smooth flavor that combines two of America's favorites, peanut butter and American whiskey. So no more social awkwardness. Time to embrace who you truly are. Get out there and make friends. And be sure it starts with Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It's available nearly everywhere. Learn more at screwballwhiskey.com. Infinium Spirits. Please enjoy responsibly.
Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball. Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE.
Are you listening?
River Dragons hockey right here on the team. Tonight, the puck drops at 7:30. River Dragons versus the Rockers. Air Force Heating and Air pregame show, 7 o'clock. And of course, remember, Braves Country HD will bring you Atlanta Braves baseball tonight and tomorrow night. 7:20 first pitch. And, man, Cubs all over the Dodgers, 13-0 right now, bottom of 7.
And Drew Smiley still got that thing going, 93 pitches through 7.
They're letting this one kid, Jackson, take a beating. He's just out there throwing. I don't even know if he's a pitcher. They might have pulled him out of the crowd.
I feel like they've been doing that to him a couple times this year for whatever reason.
Yeah, we're going into the eighth inning. I think Smiley's going back out there, and looks like it's gonna. He's going for a. Is it a perfect game still?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is 93 pitches. So you have to figure he has plenty of room left if you know he's efficient enough.
That is wow.
It's exciting right now. I mean, obviously early in the year, but this Cubs team, it's exciting right now, playing pretty dang good.
Let me see who they have left up to bat. It'd be the bottom of the order. Well, towards the bottom of the order, the 4, 5, 6, and then the final inning, 7, 8, 9. So Peralta.
Mm-hmm.
Vargas, Altman, Thompson, Williams, and Wynn. I mean, what is this? This is their starting lineup today?
Yeah, and I mean, Altman will be the toughest task, it seems there. It seems like they took a little bit of a lighter approach to the lineup, but they need a shortstop, or they need Mookie Betts' shortstop production. They need something out of that shortstop position.
Mookie can't play short, man.
No, but they were going to try it, and then he went on the paternity list, and today he came back, and they didn't. But he's played second base today, it looks like, Mookie.
Second base I get, but him playing short, I think that would be a disaster. As far as I know, he's never played that in the majors.
Did you see Bobby Dalbec played short for the Red Sox the other day? It's like, what are you doing?
He actually played short in the minors. I don't think he's a good shortstop, but he's actually played the position. They're probably going to pinch hit for Peralta, though, because he is a left-handed hitter against Smiley, so I would think they'll pinch hit. I don't know who they have available on their bench. I'm not on that site right now, but that's interesting. Ooh, was Urias on the mound today for the Dodgers?
Yeah, the Cubs got to him pretty good.
I'm glad I didn't even get to the betting window today because I had so much going on because Fridays are all – well, game days are always very hectic for me.
Yeah.
So I rarely are able to get to the what in the hell did I just see? Smiley and the catcher just collided. So I think that's going to be an infield single.
No way. And I don't have a screen in front of me.
I'm waiting for the replay. Did he drop a bunt down? If he did, that's garbage. I want to see if that was a drag bunt. If that's a drag bunt with a perfect game going on, that is absolute hot garbage.
That would be, and I'd be a little distasteful at the Dodgers. You hate to see it end regardless on an infield single.
He's getting a standing ovation. He collided with the catcher, and they kind of went topsy-turvy. I think they're both okay, but they're going to check on him. But I want to see the play again. And I looked up in the corner of my eye. Here we go. It was a swinging bunt is what it was. I was about to say, if he dropped a bunt down, that is just bush league.
And to go back to your point earlier, it looks like Peralta had a bat because all they had on the bench was Hayward and their backup catcher, Austin Barnes.
I don't know. So the catcher was trying to make the play. I'm trying to look at, I think no matter what, he would have been safe. That would have been a really tough play to make because it was over there in no man's land. Third baseman could get to it. So either Smiley was going to have to – he's a left-hander. Either Smiley was going to have to grab it against his body, throw it all the way across the diamond to a guy streaking down first base, or the catcher, who's right-handed, was going to have to catch, spin, and fire it. And either way, he probably would have beat that out. Man, that's a very, very disappointing way for a perfect game to end. Like, I want to see a clean hit.
Yeah. When you get those infield hits, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. If that's the case, let that happen in inning two or three, man.
I'll take something else. If I'm the catcher and I pick that thing up, I'm sailing it into the dugout and say, put the error on me. give me an error. Let's go. Come on.
Exactly, and I mean, you've seen that at times before. Just sad for Drew Smiley to see it end on an infield single, especially from a guy like David Peralta. It's not like it's a speedster either.
No, I mean, that would have been the highlight of his career.
Exactly. And, you know, now he might not come close to one again.
Except, of course, you know, the day that he donned the Atlanta Braves uniform. But other than that, that had been the highlight of his career.
Other than hoisting the World Series trophy.
Yeah, unfortunately for him, he didn't really get a chance to do that because he was a Cub by the time we did it.
Right, yeah. But he still gets a ring, I mean. I should have said it like that, right?
What's that?
Does he still get a ring at all? Or no, was he on the team at all that season?
Smiley, yeah.
So he gets
a ring. They actually did a ring ceremony at a Wrigley for him.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. That was cool. Didn't the Braves do that with a couple of dudes who were off the team by that time?
Yeah, it was him and Jesse Chavez.
Oh, yeah, because we got both of them.
There was a third guy, but I can't remember who it was.
We got both of them in the same offseason, and I remember kidding around saying, we got the Braves bullpen from the World Series.
I'm trying to remember who – I feel like that there was a third guy there, but I remember Chavez and Smiley, mainly because Chavez got traded back to the Braves later in the season. But I feel like that there was an everyday player or a, you know, a bench player that was there too. But
I'm going to try and think. They had to
do that for a few players when they made the tour around the league. Freddie Freeman, few guys that they had to go around, and they presented them the ring. Of course, a lot of folks didn't get a chance to see it because they didn't show it on. You know, if you're a Dodger fan, they didn't show Freddie Freeman getting a ring for the Atlanta Braves, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going to care about that. So,
oh, was Sean Newcomb on the Braves when they won it, or no? Because I believe
Newcomb was a part of the trade that sent Jesse Chavez to Atlanta.
Because I know. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes, but he was not a Cub at that time.
I hear you. Yeah, that makes sense. I forgot that they got traded for each other only a couple weeks into that season, I believe.
Yeah, it was shortly after we visited there that we ended up making the trade. And then we turned around again, and Smiley's coming out of the game. And then we turned around again, and we traded Chavez out to L.A. as a part of the Iglesias trade, and then they DFA'd him, and we grabbed him again, and then we signed him this offseason. And I don't think he's going to be let go. You know, he's leading the league in holds right now.
Really?
7 or 8. Yeah.
That's great to see. I mean,
zero ERA.
Having a really nice year.
That dude, when he's like 38, when he puts a Braves uniform on, he becomes Cy Young. He puts any other uniform on, He becomes sayonara. They're like, get out of here, man. You're terrible.
That's
unbelievable. Stupid. I know him and Charlie Morton are real good friends, but that can't be the only reason why. I mean, there's got to be something there that they do for him that I don't know. It's crazy. Yeah. Nicholas has a question here. Says, what do you think of the guys, the NFL suspension? We touched on that at the beginning of the show, but Tones wasn't on here. Tones, I gave my theory on it. I mean, I just think it's a whole lot of stupidity. I can't believe that these guys are out here gambling on NFL football when they make the money that they do.
Yeah, and I get most of the suspensions make sense. I was reading into them a little bit. The one that irks me a little bit, the Jameson Williams one, I mean, I know you got to know your rules and whatnot, but allegedly, he just bet a college football game, but since it was on their team facility property, he was suspended because it goes against team guidelines. So literally, all Jameson Williams had to do was walk out of the facility, drive to the gas station, go on the toilet, and he could have bet the game fine. But since he did it in the facility, he suspended. The other knuckleheads, they just went above and beyond, hence why you've seen the Lions cut ties with Cephas and the other dude as well, because they actually made some bad betting allegations. But a guy like Jameson Williams, what are you doing? Use your brain, walk out of the stadium, and then bet your college game. What are you doing? You got to know the rules when you're in the NFL.
I mean, the thing with him, gambling on college football on the NFL facility with your mobile app, I think that's a little ticky-tack. But the other guys are idiots.
Correct.
So I guess there were two guys who didn't bet NFL, and because they were technically on their on their on their facility. That's why they're getting popped. But the other guys are getting popped and they're gone for at least a year because they bet on the National Football League. And you know, Bobby said it best first hour. None of those other guys are as good as Calvin Ridley. So they're not, they may never play again.
Mm-mm. And that's a great point. I was going to say that myself. When you look at the names, Quintez Cephas, CJ Moore, Shaka Toney, I mean, Cephas had potential, but those three are out indefinitely. And they've probably played their last game in the NFL. I think you and Bobby said it great. Unless you have the pole power of a Calvin Ridley or another star around the league, odds are you're not likely going to get a second chance. No one is going to want to take that risk with a guy like Quintez Cephas.
Well, yeah, and Ridley didn't get another chance just because he was good. He also got another chance because he had a current contract. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at a situation where you're not going to just cut him because you have to eat all that money. So they made it. They figured out the best way out of that, which was a trade in Jacksonville. And I honestly think that that was the best thing for him too, because now he gets to go to a new place, a place where the Jaguars are expected to be really good again this year. He could flourish here. But, you know, that's not going to be the same situation for Quentin Cephas and Shaka Toney.
Yeah, and those guys as well. Ridley, at least, too. Not that it makes it much better, but at least Ridley was hurt, too, right? These guys were active and playing. So, you know, Toney, Moore, Cephas, you got to really just use your brain a little bit more when you're in the NFL. No pun intended.
Yeah, he was traded. Oh, by the way, that whole thing to Sean Newcomb, just to clean that up. He was traded on April 20th. So It was really early. And then by June 20th, he was outrighted to the AAA Cubs. Where is he now? February 2023, signed a minor league contract with the Giants. So he's in the Giants organization now.
And I mean, what a story, right? When he first came up, he was borderline all-star and he just faded so quick. Sean Newcomb.
Yeah. And he was not on the active roster when we went into the playoffs, but he still would have gotten a ring because he played earlier in that season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good point too. So, I mean, he could have earned himself a ring, but it is what it is. Sorry, Sean. You still make a lot more money than we do.
It says here he grew up a Red Sox fan. Man, the Red Sox could probably use him. They ought to go out there and see what they can do. His mom is highlighted. Is she famous? His mom, Sean Newcomb's mom, is Catherine Clark, representative from Massachusetts in the Congress. Oh, I guess just got elected 2023 through present.
That's crazy.
So maybe she used his name to springboard. I don't know. I'm not familiar with her. So she's on Capitol Hill. So
that's really interesting. I, you know, it's always crazy seeing who some of these athletes are related stuff, to.
Man, I'm still dumbfounded that he didn't. Sean Newcomb had a hook, 6'5", could bring it, but he could not find the strike zone from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
He almost had a no hitter against the Dodgers. He came within like one or two outs.
Yeah, and I think the poor kid was also one of the first to almost get canceled by his old tweets from like 15 years ago resurfacing as well.
Who, Newcomb?
Yeah, this was way back when, and it wasn't even anything bad. But remember when like Trey Turner and all those Josh Allen, and it wasn't even that bad of stuff, but people were just dragging him through the mud or trying to at least. I think Newcomb was a part of that mini group as well.
There's no mention of it on his Wikipedia page, so must not have been much of anything.
It wasn't. You know, none of those things were really that big. But you remember that little stupid movement whenever, oh, he tweeted this rap lyric 10 years ago. It's like, really? That's the world we've became.
Yeah, he was he was a part of the trade to the Braves when Angelton Simmons went over to the Angels. And I remember when he came over, man, they thought he was going to be essentially a 1-2 punch with Max Fried, because Fried came over from San Diego right around that same time period. And Newcomb came over from the Angels. And that's when the Braves were just cleaning house. We had the strikeout machines. That's all our entire lineup was. You had Freddie Freeman surrounded by 17 strikeouts. I mean, it was just ridiculous. Ugla and Upton and all those just garbage cans.
Simmons.
They were just terrible, man. Like, Justin Upton was okay, but BJ Upton was awful.
The Upton brothers.
Yeah, he started calling himself, what, Melvin?
Yeah, Melvin Upton.
Like, dude, that's not an improvement. I remember growing up, like, people would make fun of someone. There goes a real Melvin. I'm like, no, dude, what are you doing? No, just hit better. Don't change your name.
And Justin Upton, he was supposed to be a superstar, one of those dudes who fizzled out quick.
He was solid. I don't know if I would say that he, you know, Justin Upton's had a solid career.
He has.
He's not, I think some folks thought he might be like, you know, Cooperstown bound, but Justin Upton, let me see where he ended up at home run wise.
325, it looks like.
I mean, that's not too shabby. 261, an OPS over 800. I mean, if you're going to put Harold Baines in there, you might as well throw Justin Upton in the Hall of Fame. That's essentially what they did. Okay. Let's go ahead and let's get in here and do into the NFL draft. Finish this puppy up for the week. And Tones, I put you on Carolina and New Orleans mainly because you're the Bucs fan. So you follow these two franchises, and I thought that would be most appropriate to have you do that. So here we go. The pick is in for the Carolina Panthers. Second round, 8th pick of the second round.
And when you look at Carolina, they're obviously going, who would have guessed, quarterback with the first pick. And they got rid of DJ Moore. And they leave a little to be desired at the wide receiver position. I know they brought in Adam Thielen. I know they brought in DJ Chark. But they have no wide receiver under contract beyond the 2024 NFL season as well. And when you draft the quarterback first overall, what do you want to do? You want to do a Burrow, T. Higgins type of thing. You want to give your young quarterback somebody to throw to, someone to create rapport with. So I'm going with wide receiver Marvin Mims, the 5'11 speedster out of Oklahoma. He had 1,083 yards last season and 6 touchdowns to go along with 54 grabs. So there's a couple of big, giant wide receivers left in terms of size. I think they need a little speedster here. That's why I'm going with Marvin Mims. I think he'd pair up well with any quarterback they take.
All right. You got the back-to-back pick, so don't be scared. Jump on in there.
Yes. Let's go back-to-back here. Getting used to this here as I'm typing the Marvin Mims pick in YouTube, but I'll put that down for now. And New Orleans time on the clock. When you look back at our first-round mock, we had New Orleans taking best player available, Brian Branch from Alabama, and I think he'll do a lot of good for them on defense. Now you look at things. What else do they need? Running back, perhaps? Alvin Kamara, what's going to happen with him? He's getting a little older. He's getting a little off-the-field trouble. To me, their wide receivers are fine. They had Chris Olave last year. They still have Jarvis Landry. They still have Michael Thomas. I think they're just fine at wide receiver, and since they went with defense in round one, I think it makes sense for them to go with the playmaker running back here in round two, just in case something happens to Kamara. Jamal Williams is nice, but he's really only a short yardage dude. He's not going to catch you many passes and do the likes of that. I think a Jahmyr Gibbs pick running back out of Georgia would be fantastic for them here. They said he has a round one grade potentially, and he has the best hands out of any running back in this draft class. So can you imagine the Saints taking a kid like Jahmyr Gibbs to pretty much replace Alvin Kamara? I think he would fit like a glove in New Orleans. I don't want them to take him as a Bucs fan, but it'd be a home run pick here for the Saints.
All right. So you got Gibbs. Setting mine up because I'm just going to make mine appear on the screen here in 1 second, if you bear with me. And take the wheel for 1 second there, Tones.
Yep, Marvin Mims and Gibbs. I think these two have potential to have phenomenal NFL careers. Marvin Mims really intrigued me because of his size and speed. And Oklahoma didn't really have a consistent quarterback last season as Dylan Gabriel kept getting hurt. I really do think Marvin Mims could be a special player for someone, and Carolina really needs a wide receiver, or at least a young wide receiver at that.
All right, you ready for mine?
Let's hear it.
Pick is in for the Tennessee Titans, the 10th pick in the second round. Bam! Hendon Hooker, quarterback, University of Tennessee. Let's go!
Wow.
I've been hoping he would fall this far. Hooker. He is, to me, a huge value pick. I seriously doubt he falls that far in the real draft.
My bold prediction is now I think he gets taken over Will Levis.
It's possible. It depends on the situation. If you're wanting him to play this year, probably not. But if you're in a situation where, you know, look, honestly, he'll probably get drafted by the Titans in the first round if they get that deep. But Titans went with offensive line on the first pick. And it went all the way down and all the way back around. And there's no way that they would let Hooker go by him a second time.
No, and I think that'd be a phenomenal pick. And then you could really, whenever Tannehill is done there, you have your two QBs under contract for at least 3 seasons. Then you just bring in a veteran to back up as well, because then you'd have Hendon Hooker, Malik Willis. Then you sign a veteran moving forward. That's a pretty dang good quarterback room with upside.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and get back into this. And all right, we're coming up on it, and it is time for the locks. I'm very interested to see where you go tonight with your lock of the day. Where are you going, Tones?
I have one game. I like to write down one game from each sport to be prepared, and I really never know where I'm going until something is such. I'm not calling this my lock because it's a UFC fight tomorrow, but one fight I do like tomorrow, Brad Tavares -149 versus Bruno Silva. I think that's really good value there. Silva's been on a cold streak. But tonight, my lock is this, and I'm sticking with it. Dallas Stars -117 at the Minnesota Wild. It's tied in that series one game apiece.
What is the goal total in that game? Do you have that in front of you?
Goal total for over-under?
Yeah.
6.5.
God, I'd be banging the over on that. I was watching that game the other night, and I swear, it's like a pinball machine. That ball was just, I mean, that puck was just flying all over the ice.
Every time you got complacent and looked away from the game, it's like, oh, another goal, oh, another goal, oh, another goal. And actually, it's down to 6. Wow, I might have to take the over on that one. But yeah, Dallas Stars -117. I like them a lot. I think they're going to win the series in totality, and I think it starts with taking a 2-1. Lead tonight. That puck does drop at 9:38 Eastern time. That game is in Minnesota, and it is on ESPN as well.
All right, my lock. You know, I don't typically take the Braves, especially when I'm doing the game, as my lock, because I just feel like this kind of too much of a homer pick. Who can take you seriously at that point? So I am going to stick with Major League Baseball. And I am going to go with – no, you know what? Talked about first hour.
Uh-oh.
Give it to me. Give me the Knicks -0.5 in the first quarter. I think the Knicks are going to come out flying and on all over the place. And I think they're going to put on a show and at least have the lead leaving the first quarter.
I like that. I think they can.
The game that I did really like is there's a couple in Major League Baseball. The Yankees, Herman versus Kikuchi. It's only -134. And then the other one was Plesac at home against the Marlins in Brad Garrett. Real quick, give me 10 seconds, your walk-off. I think you froze. So since you froze, we'll go ahead and get out of here. That's my walk-off is pay your internet bill. We'll see you tonight. 7:20 first pitch, Braves Country HD. Keep it locked in here on the key. You got River Dragon playoff hockey coming up here in just a little bit.
Let's rock.
Goodbye, sweetheart.
Well,
it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee. We'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch, your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.